Welcome to a brand new episode of Nerd Empire Wrestling, guys. I'm your host, Jose Jimenez, and it feels good to be back, guys. It feels really good to be back. Had a long few couple of days off, you know, enjoying the summer weather out here. As you know, it's kind of winding down. I feel like we haven't had much of a summer. It feels kind of weird being in New York and there's no SummerSlam this year. It's kind of headed to Toronto, so it kind of feels a little bit awkward. There's nothing really to look forward to. You know, in regards to something close by, in regards to big time wrestling in the city. So, you know, for all of you guys out there, you guys know I will be headed to All Out in Chicago on August 31st. So stay tuned for a post on Nerd Empire Wrestling podcast page. I will be posting all my meet and greets. I'll be posting some of the cool things I'll be doing out there. I think I'll be also attending the Joey Janela after party. I'm going to have a lot of fun, guys. I'm going to, you know, give you guys the inside scoop of what my trip looks like. For all you guys that have been following me for a very long time, you guys see that I always post up all the cool shit that I do in regards to my wrestling trips that I take. I know recently I posted some stuff up for Extreme Rules. That was cool to get back into it. But All Out, man, I got to do it. I did All In One. It's only right for me to go for part two. So I can't wait to get back to the Sears Center and do part two. It's going to be definitely very fun. But, you know, just to kind of kick off my, you know, new episode, it feels good. I call this the Yowie Wowie episode. A lot of you guys are probably figuring, like, why is he calling it the Yowie Wowie? Well, the reason I'm calling it Yowie Wowie, I know we've been seeing a lot of cuts and a lot of vignettes with Bray Wyatt in it. And I know recently he just accepted Finn Balor's challenge for WrestleMania. Let me tell you, that probably had to be one of the coolest match exception vignettes I've seen in a very, very long time. I just think that, you know, Bray Wyatt has repackaged himself so well, you know, so awesome. I think he's gonna have a very, very deep run and an awesome run. And it's good that he's going to kick it off with Finn. I think that's something that makes a lot of sense for me. The one thing that I know a lot of people out there are kind of wondering, is Finn going to go into this match at SummerSlam as the man or as the demon? And that's been a lot of questions I've been being asked on social media and then from my close friends and family members that are also pro wrestling fans like myself. In my humble opinion, I think Finn should go in as the man, not as the demon. I know a lot of people are probably like, why? Well, we all know that the demon is a SummerSlam tradition. He brings it out every single year for SummerSlam. But if it is true that Finn's going to be taking a little hiatus and leaving for a few months to just heal his body up, to work on his engagement and maybe plan a wedding, I don't think there's a need to bring the demon. I don't know, you know, why people are upset about that. It shouldn't happen. The demon is something that's very special. The demon is something that should be untouchable and that should only come out for big feuds. And we all of us that have watched Finn on NXT, the only time he brought the demon out was for a takeover. And the reason he brought it out for a takeover is because that was the actual finale of that feud. He would try to beat the opponent as the person, as Finn Balor the man. And if it wasn't successful, that's when he would dig into his darker side and bring out the demon. Because he's a man that does extraordinary things. Or extraordinary things. So I don't think he needs a demon right now. I think it'll be cool to see Bray Wyatt go into SummerSlam, dismantle Finn Balor. I mean, completely dismantle him. Not only physically, but mentally. I would like to see him just get obliterated and disappear. Disappear for those few months. And now you got something special. And the reason I say that is you can build Bray. Bray could kind of slide into Finn's spot, you know, on the mid-card where Finn was at. You can use that character, the Fiend. And, you know, you can build some great feuds with a lot of mid-card guys that are over on SmackDown. You know, you can do it with Aleister Black. You can do it with Cesaro. You can even, if you want to even go crazy, you could do it with Randy Orton again. There's a lot of people that you can throw Bray Wyatt in a match with. And I think it's really good for him to right now just build up wins. Start building up, you know, all these victories. Have some really good feuds. And then now 3 or 4 months pass by and Finn is back. Now we can revisit that. Now we can go back into that. and now we can have another few matches. Maybe if you want to go into a match where they go into the Playhouse and they have a match there, where it's kind of similar to what they did with him and Randy when they had that match inside that cabin, and Randy went in and burned the house down with Sister Abigail's ashes. You could do something like that with Finn, but you could make it a little bit more edgy, a little bit more scary. Kind of have people on the edge of their seats. I mean, there's a lot of great things that I think you can do with Bray Wyatt. Now, I know on Instagram, they were asking me where are they gonna go with Bray Wyatt the character? What are they gonna do? Is this gonna be something that they're gonna try and that they're gonna fuck up and go back to the old Bray Wyatt where he's taking losses to all these top stars and they're gonna end up damaging him all over again? I don't think that's going to be the fact this time. I think this time, with this repackage, I think they found something that not only fits Bray Wyatt on a deeper level, but that they can really use away from the ring. I've been tuning in the last couple weeks to Raw, SmackDown, and all this just to watch those vignettes. I think they're super cool. They're edgy. They're different, and it's kind of also a cool thing that what they're doing with the puppets. Puppets are popping up in people's interviews. They're popping up backstage in odd areas. It's cool to see that because you don't know who's the next target for Bray Wyatt. You don't know who is he going to attack. You don't know who is he going to feud with. You don't know who he has beef with. So, it kind of leaves everything open with the storyline. Kind of leaves everything open with the character of Bray. I really like the whole Mr. Rogers thing that they're doing with him too. When I first saw that, I was like, "Oh wow, this is different. This is edgy. This is controversial, and I like it. I like it. It is mysterious, and that's when I think Bray Wyatt, I think mysterious." I know a lot of people might give me shit about this, but I was upset when they damaged Bray Wyatt, the character. I feel a lot of his big matches were, they kind of gave him the back seat. And one of the feuds that I think they gave him the back seat was Cena. Like, there was no reason why Cena should have destroyed the entire Wyatt family. That was ridiculous. That really hurt Bray Wyatt, the character, and that really hurt the Wyatt family. Also, him taking a loss to Taker at Mania. I feel like if anybody was going to end the streak or come close to ending the streak, it should have been Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt would have been a perfect person to take over that mantle for Undertaker with that darkness, with that grittiness, and that edginess. Well, I think he would have stepped right in and he would have filled those shoes admirably. But they decided to go a different route. The whole Randy Orton feud when Bray went into WrestleMania as the heavyweight champ and they ended up taking the belt away from him after he won it at Elimination Chamber. That was another thing that I had a problem with. I felt Bray should have carried that belt for a whole year. I felt he should have had a solid run with the belt. He should have feuded with everybody, gender, whoever you want to throw in his way. It would have been cool to see him also against Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series when it was a brand versus brand, champion versus champion. That would have been amazing. I think that would have kind of got him over. He could have, you could have did some dark, edgy stuff with the Beast. When have we seen Brock in an uncomfortable situation? Where when have we seen Brock go into the darkness and fight his way out? We know we call him the Beast, but is he, is he ready or is he, not afraid to take that next jump? Would he be able to meet Bray on that kind of level? Would he be able to surpass the darkness and defeat Bray Wyatt, the man? Like that, I would have loved to see a storyline like that with Brock Lesnar, or even throw Seth Rollins. I mean, there were so many opponents you could have did it at. But the main point that I'm trying to make here is I felt like he should have had a really long title run when he first won at Elimination Chamber. And it was funny because when I was watching it with my brothers, and as soon as Bray won, we were all sitting there and we all looked at each other and we said, finally, 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 he's the heavyweight champ. Like, this should have happened at least a year or two ago. But it happened at that moment. And the first thing I told the guys, I was like, he's going to drop that at WrestleMania immediately, that they're not going to let him carry that past WrestleMania. I was like, I'm sorry, they're gonna find a way to fuck this up, as they usually do with Bray, and it's not gonna work. And hate to say it, I was right. He dropped it to Randy at Mania, Then Randy went on to drop it to Jinder, and we all know what happened after that. And you know that. And then Bray got sick. He was supposed to fight Finn the Demon, and this is where we were supposed to see the reincarnation of Sister Abigail, which was going to be his alter ego, and we never got that. And I think that was a blessing in disguise. You know, it sucked that he got sick, and it was also cool that we got a dream match between AJ Styles and Finn Balor, and Finn as the Demon. Like, that was awesome. You know, it kind of made up for the loss of him not being there. But I think it also helped him in a kind of way. It was a blessing in disguise where he was able to step away and think of creative ideas for him to come back and, you know, really bring that edginess and bring the Fiend out. And I think that's something that has been very, very interesting, very edgy. And I think a lot of us wrestling fans appreciate it and love it. And we're super excited for Bray Wyatt now. And we're super excited to see what they're going to do with him. I'm hoping that they continue to do big things with Bray Wyatt, because I think he deserves it, and I think that the character is super over without even stepping into a ring for almost a year. And you know, it's, and he, look where they have us already with this character. It's amazing. It's a thing of beauty. And like I told a few of my other buddies, when we go into debates on who are the best guys in regards to being on the mic and cutting a promo, and I always select Bray Wyatt, always. Like, no one can have you on the edge of your seat, no one can have you thinking, no one can have you glued to a television like Bray Wyatt. Like, he's different, he's unique, and it's going to be beautiful to see that character evolve and blossom. So, you know, that's my two cents about that. I don't think they're going to damage that character. I think they got something really special with him. And I don't see Bray disappearing off TV anytime soon. If not, I see Bray holding one of those mid-card titles. Or, hey, who knows, man? He might even jump up to the main title picture. Let's see how this all plays out after SummerSlam, between him and Finn. And then I think that's when we're going to be able to see where he's going to go in regards to what's next for him on the roster. But I wouldn't mind seeing him go into the IC title picture automatically and go up a go up against a Shinsuke Nakamura or whoever ends up holding that title. I know right now I think they're going to tease Ali and the Shinsuke Nakamura feud, which I think that'll be fantastic. You know, those two guys one-on-one in a ring, you know, we saw what they did in Smackville. I can't imagine what they do in a long, you know, lengthy feud when they can start getting used to each other's style. And we all know what Ali can do, and we all know what Shinsuke can do. And let me tell you, I'm excited with Shinsuke being the IC title, IC champion. I think he's gonna do some cool things with that title. And I hope to God that they keep it on him for a little while, till he gets a big feud with somebody who can take the belt off him that we all agree with, which it might be a Bray Wyatt or who knows. You know, we're gonna have to wait and see for that. But just to keep moving along, I've been watching the G1. I've been trying to keep up with that as much as possible. Moxley's on a roll, guys. Moxley's been killing it in New Japan. Let me tell you, man. I don't know if you guys watched, but the other night, the Naito Moxley match was, wow. Talk about a dream match. Talk about a match that we probably all talked about, you know, surrounded around a television or at a kitchen table or at a restaurant, talking wrestling, chopping it up. What dream matches you like to see? And Moxley and Naito, I don't know if that came up a lot, but that would have been a match I would have thrown in there if I had to pick each Shield member to have a match with somebody from NJPW. Naito would have been definitely one of the guys I would have picked. But wow, Moxley's on a roll. He's if I'm correct, he's undefeated in the G1, and it brings up the question again, man: can he win the entire G1 and face Okada at Wrestle Kingdom? We're gonna have to wait and see. I don't know. It would be a great idea. Excuse me. It would be a great idea to see the IWGP US Heavyweight Champion against the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, and both belts on the line. Imagine that at Wrestle Kingdom. Wow, that would be a must buy. That would be a must see. You know, both belts on the line. Winner takes both. Holy shit. Like, you know, it just gives me chills up my spine thinking about it. You know, but hey, man, I give Moxley a lot of credit, man. He gambled on himself. He left WWE. he went on, and look at the matches he's having, guys. Like, I really want you guys to really think about this. You know, people gave him shit, like, why is he leaving? You know, he's making a lot of money. He's going to get big guaranteed money. But, you know, the words of Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Jon Moxley, I cannot be bought. And, you know, he looked at it like, I want to wrestle the people I want to wrestle. I want to do the matches I want to do. I want to cut the promos I want to cut. And I want to have control of my character. And look, it reminds me of when Jericho left. And he ended up having matches with Kenny. He ended up having matches with Okada. He had a feud with Naito. Look what he's doing with AEW. And, you know, Moxley right now slowly is climbing that chart of top wrestlers. And, you know, also that all-time list, too. Because now we're starting to see him wrestle guys like Naito. We're starting to see him wrestle guys like Ishii. You know, maybe in Okada soon. We're going to see him get Kenny out, All Out. Like, look at this resume, man. He's going to fight Pentagon in the Indies soon. He fought Cross. Like, holy shit, Josh Barnett coming up in Bloodsport. Like, look at the caliber of opponents he's wrestling out there. He's taking out everybody. And all these matches are dream matches, and he's holding his own. Let me tell you, all of my close friends could tell you, I was not a Dean Ambrose fan. I'm not sitting out here saying that I'm a big Jon Moxley fan. No, what I'm saying is, was it the WWE that was holding him back? Is it the WWE that kind of holds these wrestlers back from really, really showing what they can do in a match? Kind of limiting them on the move sets they can use, on what they can say on the microphone, on what they can, you know, on what's cool and what's not. I think it is, guys. I really think it is. You know, I've seen guys leave, big superstars leave WWE, go to New Japan, you know, and blow up and become totally different wrestlers than what I watched when they were in the WWE. Look at Kenta. Kenta's another great example. You mean to tell me that Kenta was only good for 205 Live? Are you fucking kidding me? Hell no. Hell no. Kenta should have been at least in the main title, or in a mid-card title picture. Maybe a U.S. title, maybe an IC title. But all you do is you put him on the on 205 Live, and you're good enough only to be a cruiserweight, but you're not good enough to hold the cruiserweight title? Are you fucking kidding me? And look at the kind of caliber matches he had at 205 Live. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for the shoulder injury, he would have been the NXT World Heavyweight Champion at some point. I personally feel they moved on with him too fast when he came back. They escalated him too high. They moved him up and say, hey, you're going to go 205 Live. I would have kept him on NXT for a little bit. I definitely would have kept him on NXT. I would have had him feud with the likes of Johnny Gargano. I would have had him feud with the likes of Adam Cole, maybe Matt Riddle, you know, or even Ciampa at that point, or Velveteen Dream. I would have had him. I would have kept him there and let him continue to get his feet wet. The injury really set him back. When he got signed as one of the biggest, you know, free agent signings out of Japan in the history of the WWE, along with Shinsuke Nakamura and guys like that. You know, and it's crazy. It's crazy how these guys leave WWE. They feel this rejuvenation. They feel this freedom. And, you know, and the first thing they say is, it's not about the money. It's about the wrestling. It's about the characters, about the things that I want to do inside the ring and what I want to accomplish. And look, man, we got two guys that left the WWE in, around the same time. And look at the kind of shit they're doing in the G1. Look at the kind of matches they're putting up. Look at the stories that they're telling. You can't tell me that you're not excited for Kenta and Moxley. You can't. You can't. Like, they have been having an amazing 2019. They've been killing it so far. And either one of those guys are going to win the G1. One of those two guys are going to win the G1. And I think the dark horse and all that, it might be Will Ospreay. But look, they got Moxley, right? He's been killing it. You got Kenta now. He's been killing it. You got Will Ospreay having crazy matches with everybody. You know? And I feel bad for Switchblade Jay White. The guy, I don't even think he has recorded a win in the G1. He's technically getting buried on that main roster. Well, I don't know if they got any other big things for him, but it's crazy, you know? These guys have come over and they have, you know, taken advantage of their opportunity, and they've also slid into that spot that was occupied by Jay White. Now Jay White takes two steps down. That's, you know, I want you guys to really think about that. Is he being affected by that? Is it, or is this a work for a future storyline for Jay White? I don't know. You know, the Bullet Club is not as strong as it used to be. You know, they're, all the members are pretty much on AEW. There's a new team there. You know, Switchblade being the leader, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to go on with that character. But just to kind of wrap up the segment, yeah, it's been a great two. It's been a great tournament for those two guys. I'm excited to see what the future holds for them, and it's gonna be an amazing G1 finale. I'm wondering who's gonna wrap up enough points to get to Wrestle Kingdom. But in all fairness to all the other guys inside in the tournament, there's gonna be a few guys that are gonna get some big matches at the at Wrestle Kingdom coming up in the beginning of next year. So even when New Japan, when people think that New Japan has lost all their talent to AEW, they continue to just get better with new, fresh, upcoming talent. So it's exciting to see that NJPW hasn't lost his step yet. So it's going to be fun to see. And I'm holding out hope that they have a merger with AEW. I think it'll be cool to see AEW and NJPW merge, and kind of similar to what TNA did back in the day when they merged with NJPW, and a lot of their big stars went back and forth. So this is something that we're going to have to wait and see. Big announcement, AEW is going to be opening up their first TNT show in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. That's going to be something to see, history in the making. I'm really curious to see what that first show is going to look like, how many guys are going to be on TV. But I'm excited. I'm glad that they're opening up in D.C. They're already showing commercials on TNT. A lot of those guys that are having these indie dates now, you're starting to see that they're starting to wrap those dates up. They're finishing up some of the promises and some of the contracts they signed with a lot of these with these indie promotions. My concern is, how are some of these indie promotions are going to continue to thrive losing some of those stars, especially companies like Defy, companies like PWG? You know, now these AEW guys that have, you know, open contracts right now to go into indies and wrestle, that's not going to happen once AEW starts and they're on TV every Tuesday. Every Wednesday. They're going to be exclusively only at AEW. How is this going to hurt some of those independent federations? We're going to have to wait and see about that. But it's definitely a very fun time in wrestling right now. There's so much cool shit going on. SummerSlam is around the corner. G1, like I said earlier, is kind of, midway. It's not far, but not close to wrapping up. So it's going to, we're in a fun time of wrestling, guys. Summer's wrapping up. We're going to start talking pretty much pretty soon. Survivor Series. We're going to be, again, talking about AEW going on television now and competing with NXT on Wednesdays. And the main roster, we got All Out coming up in the end of August. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan, guys. I'm so excited. This is like the next, I call it the next big boom in wrestling. So many new fans coming to the product. So much talent out there in the indies that we're most likely going to see on a TV station near you. So it's a great time, guys. The network got a nice little update this past weekend. It looks really good. I like it. I love how they updated it. There's three different tiers of the network where, you know, I think one tier, it's free, but you only get the content on there. I think the second one, you only get the big four pay-per-view, which is SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. And the $14.99 tier, you get everything. You get the complete network, and you get Evolve. Wow. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But I love the layout. I don't know. Let me know how you guys feel on Nerd Empire Wrestling on our page. Let me know how you guys feel about the network, a new layout. I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear how you guys feel. But watching right now, Switchblade got a win on the G1. So I think he got over the hump. Let's see if he starts a little winning streak here and can maybe get to Wrestle Kingdom and get another shot at that World Heavyweight title that he lost at Madison Square Garden. But I highly doubt that. He's gonna have to. There's a lot of killers in that bracket, in that group. So let's see how this all plays out. But yeah, guys, you know, I'm happy that you guys have been following the page. I want to hear you guys' feedback on my recent recording. I did for you guys that are new to the show, I'm doing something brand new called Wrestler Spotlight. Every single week, I'm picking a new wrestler, kind of talking about their career achievements, their best matches, some of the titles they won, what could happen to them if they either go on with on the main roster. They could be a main roster attendee. They could be somebody in AEW. They could be somebody in New Japan. I don't know. I'm going to pick a new wrestler every week, break down their whole entire career, give you my thoughts and opinions on where they're at right now and maybe what else they can do to get to the level where they want to be. So stay tuned for new episodes of Wrestler Spotlight. I'll be posting something up today or tomorrow letting you guys know what the next wrestler, who the next wrestler is going to be that I'm going to be breaking down on Wrestler Spotlight. But let me know how you guys think about the show, Wrestler Spotlight. And something that you guys want to hear, what wrestlers maybe you guys want me to talk about and cover. I'm open, guys. I'm open to feedback. I definitely want to hear what you guys got to say. But yeah, guys, you know, that's my episode for today. I just wanted to come up here, chat a little bit about some of the things that's going on out there in the world of pro wrestling. Give you guys my opinion on the yowie wowie situation and what's going to go on for SummerSlam on the G1. And, you know, the amazing performance of two ex-WWE talents in Jon Moxley and Kenta, and also on the new update of the WWE Network. Before I leave, there's also some cool new shit popping up in regards to figures, because you guys know I'm a huge WWE Elite figure collector. There's some new pops that came out this week. WWE pops, the Bret Hart, the Undertaker. I think also there's the Becky Lynch in that set, Trish Stratus. What else? I think that's it. And Bret Hart, I don't know if I mentioned him, but yes, he's also a part of that set. That came out. I know the SummerSlam set with Mabel and Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella and Braun Strowman is popping up at Walmart. So if you guys out there that are big time elite collectors like myself, try to head to your local Walmart. I know the sets and the basics are popping up. I picked up the Matt Hardy today. I'm going to do some custom work on that and turn that into an elite for myself. That brings me back to that SummerSlam match that he had where he did the Swanton Bomb on the side of the apron and almost paralyzed himself. But I'm a big fan of Matt Hardy. Jeff. So I definitely got to get that figure made. But, you know, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for all the support and the love that you guys have been showing me throughout the years. I promise I was going to stay more active. I'm definitely going to continue to do that. But, yes, stay tuned. August 31st will be here in no time. And I will give you guys a live look of what's going to be going down at All Out on AEW Weekend in Chicago. But thank you guys. God bless. Have a great night.